With me your Bibles this evening and turn to 1 Timothy in the chapter 1. 1 Timothy in the chapter 1. We're going to read together from the verse 1. Beginning our reading at the verse 1, and the Word of God says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, mine own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father in Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. As we come to the Word of God tonight, we come to the first of two Advent-themed gospel messages. And of course, as we come to the Word of God, you might say, well, how are we dealing with the Advent when we're found here in the book of 1 Timothy? But as we come to this first chapter, I believe that Paul the Apostle lays before us the very headline for the Advent. For in the verse, the verse 15 of the chapter, it says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And that, I submit to you, is simply the headline for the Advent. That is the reason, as it were, for the season. That is why we come time and time again to remember the birth of the infant child. The first thing we notice in this verse is the reality that he came. For as Paul writes, he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Simply saying, what I am about to say to you is true. It's beyond any shadow of a doubt that which I am about to lay before you as I pen these words, you are to receive it as being the truth. You're to accept it. You're to believe it. You're to preach it. You're to hold on to it. You're to come to a greater understanding of it. And as you consider all that I'm about to reveal to you, know first and foremost that Christ Jesus came into the world. Come back to John's Gospel in the chapter 1. John's Gospel in the chapter 1. And we see here given to us beyond any shadow of a doubt the fact that Jesus Christ came into this world. It tells us in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. I understand then as we come to Christmas and we behold that babe in a manger, we're not looking at any normal child. Oh yes, it may have the appearance of a normal child, but scratch below the surface and behold one who is divine. One who has taken on flesh, but yet remaineth coexistent, co-eternal, and co-equal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit at all times. It goes on to say, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Come down into verse 11, and it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of truth. And remember how we began, for Paul writes and says, what I'm about to reveal, what I'm about to state in my writing, as I pen this epistle, as I write this letter unto you, this is a true saying, and this is worthy of all acceptation. What is it? It is the fact that the one who came was the Word. The one who came was the dear Son of God. The one who came was the one full of grace, full of truth. And so as we come to Christmas, as we come to that time in the calendar once more where our minds are drawn to the truth that Christ Jesus came into the world, oh, proclaim it far and wide. For truly we know that God was in flesh. And here he lived, and here he died, so that the will of the Father might be done. You see, the Word of God reveals to us his virgin birth, does it not? That which was conceived in Mary was conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost, as the Holy Ghost would come upon her. It was not to be the seed of a man. No, he was, of course, God in flesh, untainted by the things of time. And so not only do we see the virgin birth, but we see, of course, his victorious life. For he lived a life that was above and beyond reproach. And as he ministered upon this earth, and as he knew what it was even to grow up before he began to minister, he did so being undefiled and unspotted by the things of time. Oh yes, he was in all points tempted such as we are. That is, he was exposed to the same temptations. He knew the same struggles. He knew the same choices. But yet he was without sin. He was victorious over sin. Victorious in every temptation. Victorious in every trial. The devil led him up into the wilderness to be tempted. But he said, get thee behind me, Satan. He was victorious. Then the Word of God leads us on not only to consider his virgin birth, his victorious life, but his vicarious death. For there upon the cross of Calvary, he gave his life for mine. He died in your place. He bore the wrath of God that was rightfully due to you for your sin. He paid the penalty. His precious blood was the price that was necessary for redemption. I know if you're here tonight, we don't point you to one who simply lived a good life. We point you to one who died an atoning death. And there upon Calvary's hill, he satisfied the righteous and holy demands of God. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the very scriptures themselves. And his death was enough. The Bible reveals not only to us his virgin birth, his victorious life, his vicarious death, but it also reminds us of his soon visible return. For this same Jesus, the one who came even as a babe in a manger, is soon coming to rule and to reign. And friend, as we come together to consider this Advent message, as we come to remind ourselves of what Christmas is all about, as we come to behold that which the Scriptures record to us, the reality that Christ Jesus came into this world, remember He's coming again. And hear the warning that is issued down through the Scriptures, not only in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament. Hear the prophet of old who says, prepare to meet your God. Oh, there's a date in the calendar to which we're all looking. We're counting down the days and we're marking down even those little boxes in the chocolate Advent calendars to ensure that we're all ready for the big day. That with all of the supplies in and all the presents bought, and we're earnestly working, we're beavering, we're ensuring that everything will just be right. But let me tell you, when it comes to the return of the Lord, have you given it a thought? Tonight, does a reality of His return weigh upon you in any way? Much time will be invested in preparations for this and for that. But tell me tonight, have you prepared to meet God? Because this same Jesus shall so come in like manner. And so we see the reality. We also see the reason. If this was a reality, and it was, then what was the reason for the Savior coming into the world? Why did He come? For what purpose to fulfill did He come? It tells us in verse 15, to save sinners. And understand that that simply can be said to save people just like you. People just like me. Well, yes, given to us in the Word of God, as we read there in the verse 9 of 1 Timothy 1, it says, knowing this, that the law is not for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. That's immediately what springs into our mind when we hear the word sinner. Those who perhaps even in this time are receiving the just reward for their actions, being punished by the law. The law of the land. I know all of us would like to think that we're not as bad as that individual or that person who has done this and is receiving the due reward for that action as they serve time or know perhaps the ultimate penalty in other lands where their life is taken for their crime. But the Bible reminds us that we're all born in sin. There's none righteous, no, not one. I know we can clean up and we can dress up and we can present ourselves in a place like this and we can appear on the outside to be the model citizen, the one who is upstanding in the eyes of the law, the one who is vital even to their community and to their family. But we were all born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We're all separated from God, a righteous and a holy God, because of that sin. We all in and of ourselves can do nothing to change our eternal destiny. And so the Savior came for people just like you. People just like me. He goes on in verse 9 to say, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Remember the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount was simply this, that when it comes to those stated deeds that are given to us, even in a verse like this, you don't actually have to commit that crime to be guilty of that crime. Was it not He who said, whosoever looketh upon a man or a woman to lust after them is as good as committing the adultery? Was it not He who said that even if you regard iniquity in our heart, and if we have that hatred for a fellow man or a fellow woman, then we have as good as murdered them in the eyes of the law. It's inescapable, O man. It's inescapable, O woman. Who art thou that judgest? For the judge of all the earth says, we are all sinners. But as we come to Christmas and as we remember the coming into the world of our Lord Jesus Christ, and as we come to rejoice and celebrate even his infant birth once again, we remember at the very forefront of our minds that the very reason that he came into this world, the very purpose that he stepped into time, was to save sinners. Sinners like you and sinners like me. And that remains a timeless, unchangeable truth according to the Word of God. And oh yes, we love to rehearse those stories of how he went about his earthly ministry. He opened the eyes of the blind. He made the lame to walk again. He even raised the dead to life. But there came that point when he set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. He said unto Herod, for this cause came I into the world. It was that he might take upon him our sin and sorrow, that he might make them his very own, that he might bear that burden to Calvary, where he would suffer and he would die alone. And oh, friend, tonight, you who are outside of Christ, as you come to reflect on this Christmas time once more, know for certain that the reason that he came was to provide salvation for you. So we see the reality that he came. We see the reason for which he came. Praise the Lord, we see the result. The result from why he came. Paul goes on to say at the end of the verse, he came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul knew what it was to take the sinner's place. He knew that he was lost and perishing and dying in his sin. And he knew there was that moment whenever God stepped into his life. Whenever the truth of the gospel got a hold of him. Whenever the light of the glorious gospel shone through, where he who was once in darkness then seen a great light. And oh, we know from the testimony of Paul the apostle that he it was who truly seen a great light, for there he was on the road to Damascus, the road that would take him even into a city where his intent was to persecute, was to maim, was to injure, was to cast into prison all those who professed the name of the lovely Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then God stepped in and he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. It is hard for thee to reject the truth that is right before you. Though you may think that you're despising the offer that is extended to you by a man, you may think that you're spurning the opportunity to get saved that is extended to you by a loved one. But in reality, every time you say no to the gospel, you're saying no to a thrice holy God. A God who sent his own dear son. A God who gave his only dear son. A God who turned his back on his own dear son. A God who hid his face even from all the sufferings of his own dear son. A God who at all times said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And oh, tonight as you come even into this gathering, know that the salvation that is available for you tonight is the exact same salvation that brought about that life change in the Apostle Paul. It goes on to say in verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was entrusted unto my, or committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith, and love which is in Christ Jesus. And oh, Paul is simply saying this. Here was my need, but here's my God. And God has available to you tonight grace that is greater than all our need. Grace that is able to save even the vilest of sinners amongst us. And so come with your baggage. Come with your regret. Come with those moments that you wish you could relive. Come with your shame. Come with your guilt. And know the salvation that is only available in Him. Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus came to save you. Oh, there are many amongst us tonight who rejoice in the day whenever by faith they came and availed of the mercy and grace that is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you with absolute certainty, there wouldn't be a person in here who has done so, who would rise to their feet and say tonight, I regret that I ever did it. I guarantee that each and every one would say, my only regret is I didn't do it sooner. I didn't accept of the mercy. I didn't accept of the grace. I didn't avail of the result that is available because of why He came. And so we come to Christmas. We come to a time when ever no doubt there are plans for fun, for fellowship, for family. But this Christmas, have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of care. As He knocks and asks admission. Sinner, will you let Him in? For I tell you, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Sinners like you, but praise God, also sinners like me. And thank God I'm saved.